I'm here to facilitate this meeting, but what this meeting is about, and I'm going to be pretty rigorous, or we will not have sufficient time to finish the whole thing.
Can you just do a test?
Is this microphone working?
Everybody can hear in the back?
In the back, yes, you can. Whoa.
There it is.
That was pretty exciting. Okay. So I'm going to start off with the introduction here, and it's just going to be a little. Jackie, you have a place at the table here somewhere. Where's access? Oh.
Chief.
Now something mysterious is happening, which is people are appearing and taking places from other people. Okay, get ready. Is everybody ready? Now you're going to have to listen. I'm not quite sure how this is going to work.
And with the dawn, I'll wake and yawn and carry.
I'm setting a mood. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Does anybody know who this group is? No one? Yeah, the Sons of the Pioneers. Just a little bit more.
And can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me? Water.
Okay, here's the second part. How many of you have seen the movie of the Big Lebowski? Okay. Can you remember the voice of the man who starts at the narration at the start of that movie? Okay, imagine that's my voice now. In the Wild West, at the beginning of the great cattle drives, taking up to 3,000 head of cattle 600 miles from San Antonio to Abilene along the Chisholm Trail, the crew would gather to get to know each other and prepare as a team for the eventful and unpredictable months ahead. In the Wild West of 2016, 300,000 visitors would come to Ashland, Oregon for what was known then as the season. At the beginning of the season, the partners would gather to get to know each other and prepare as a team for the eventful and unpredictable months ahead. And that's why we're here, and you are the partners. We're here today, cowgirls and cowboys, chuck wagon cook and cowpony wrangler, to get to know each other and what each one does so we can collaborate, gather, and dispense information, problem solve, and more on the trail. We have to get in real time with what's going to be happening this summer. This is not a static problem or issue. This is an ongoing flow of life and history and events. The rules for tonight's session are simple. This is a logistical sharing of information. Each organization, represented by a name tent here, gets 3 to 4 minutes to describe its particular job, task, or role. And I'm asking each speaker to say a little bit about your personal connection with this work that has to do with why you find yourself at this table this evening on Thursday, the 21st of April. Anne. Yeah, and 3 minutes will be 90 minutes, and so between 3 and 4 minutes per person will give us about 10 minutes at the end, which is perfect. Thank you. Okay, so I've said each, and I will help you. If you don't quite get it the first time, it'll be on you like that, so watch out. There's no preaching except for qualified people around here. I'm not sure what they arguing or medicine shows. Cookies for all will be available from the chuck wagon. I've handed out this map. I'm circulating the clipboard to collect your phone numbers, and then we'll, in the future, send out to everyone the list of phone numbers so you will be able to contact every single one of these people around the table should you need to. This is just a foundational thing, but we've got to start. And then why the personal testaments? Why am I asking you for that? I'm going to have reference to one of my spiritual guides, I guess you'd call it, in Ashland. William Stafford, the great poet laureate, famous Oregon poet, wrote this supposedly when he was in jail as a conscientious objector during World War II. It's called a ritual to read to each other. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible errors of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade, holding each elephant's tail, but if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel, and maybe the root of all cruelty, to know what occurs but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Okay, so now I just need to start the ball rolling here. And I'm going to start with peace ambassadors, and we're going to go around the circle in the order that we're seated at the table, and Ann Seltzer is going to turn on her video that tells her how to run the timer.
Okay, start.
Okay, 3.5 minutes each.
I can do 3 or 4.
Okay, so start, wait 30 seconds and then start 3.
Oh.
Okay, go for it.
Hello, my name is David Wick, and the executive director of the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission, which is a relatively new entity in Ashland. And it is a citizens-based commission focused on helping us all to be conscious of the move from the culture of violence that we unfortunately live within in general, relative peace here in Ashland, to a culture of peace. And it is really, what is that? What is the culture of peace? How does it show up? And what do we do now and in the future? It's laying the foundation for the future. And everyone sitting around this table is absolutely contributing to the culture of peace right now, and a very important part of the element. Overall, we're talking about a community-wide movement dedicated to transforming our attitudes, behaviors, and institutions into ones that foster harmonious relationships with each other and the natural world.
You better start telling us what you're actually going to do.
So what we're going to do is we have a peace ambassador program, and Bob, who is the head of that, will talk about that.
Great, thank you. I'm here because I'm a listener, because I learn more about myself and about you through listening. So peace ambassador is about listening. We know that we don't have the answers, and we know if it's a community-wide movement, we all need to be asking each other the question, what is the culture of peace? We do that in one-on-one dialogues. We do that so far now Thursdays and Saturdays at Chautauqua Square in front of the Black Swan. We thought we were tabling, because that's what you do when you go to like a square, but we realized we never touched the table. We had a circle of chairs, so we circle. We circle at the square. Come visit us. We hold conversation cafes. We facilitate talking circles like at the We dinner for the homeless. And we hold forums to bring the community together so people can dialogue with each other. We're about paradigm shift. We're about reframing the problem. We're about inclusivity and accountability. We search for a view that's broader than us versus them. And we look for a place where each of us recognizes that we're both part of the problem and part of the solution. We set a tone for both and instead of either or thinking, so that we welcome all feelings and all ideas. We bring people together so to collaboratively discover solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's do 3 minutes. I think 3 minutes will be enough. La Clinica.
I'm Ed Smith Burns. I'm outreach director at La Clinica. And La Clinica has been providing healthcare services in Jackson County for the last 26 years. We currently have 7 fixed sites where we provide services and 9 school-based health centers. We also have a mobile health center that provides services out in the community where our focus is to meet people where they're at and provide them with both medical and dental care, no questions asked and no one turned away. And I think, you know, to answer the question about, you know, why I'm here at the table, my entire work experience has been serving marginalized populations, primarily people suffering from addiction and mental health issues. And I have the great privilege to represent La Clinica, which really does believe that healthcare, it should be affordable for all and accessible for all. And that's something that really resonates with me. And so that's why I'm
great
here today.
And you don't have to use all 3 minutes.
And I won't use all 3 minutes because.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Comac.
Yeah. Do I have to get this close? Real close?
Yeah, that's
good. Okay, is that all right? My name is Comac Tapp. And what I do is I prepare a stew, a very healthy stew, vegetarian, with a lot of you know, organic vegetables and really healthy, you know, because a lot of the people that come to my stew are, you know, they're on the street and they're surviving and they need a lot of good nutrition, and so that's what I do. And also it provides a sense of community where people can share, and I guess that's why I started it, you know, to demonstrate God's love for all, and especially, you know, those who are hungry and want fellowship. And so it's been going for 10 and a half years now. And they're so thankful, always offering to help me or do anything to reciprocate, which is, you know, it's just beautiful to see the openness and how they're so open to doing that. At the park, at the gazebo on Sunday.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah,
Thank you.
And this is, as they come, they ask me why I'm doing this and who I am and, you know, whatever. So I tell them, and of course, there's so many problems, you know, that all you can do is just cry with them and rejoice with them and me also, you know. And so I think that's helpful, and it's been helpful.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay, is that it? Yep. Okay, my name is Maren Faya. I am the director of Uncle Food's Diner. It's a free meal. We serve about 100 to 150 people each week on Tuesday at 4:30, and it is sponsored by Peace House and hosted by the Methodist Church. On Main and Laurel, and I'm in my fifth year now, and we have about 30 to 40 volunteers that come in every week, and a lot of them are here, and we also have a lot of people that are represented here. We have La Clinica comes, gives free medical. We've got the street dogs. They give food to the people who need food. The people who have dogs and cats. We've got, who else do we have? Lee Madsen is our bouncer.
I'm the greeter.
You're the greeter. We've got the listening post. We've got free showers. And so it's a really a community time. And they start showing up around 12 o'clock. They can get a shower. They can do their laundry. And a lot of the people that come to the meal also volunteer. They help set up the dining room to eat. They help with the cleanup. So we really have people who cooperate and are very helpful and are willing to do to be helpful. So and the reason I do this is because I just like to cook and feed people, and I've been feeding these people for 5 years now, and I just feel, you know, you can't feed people for that many years and not worry about them and feel like I'm, you know, I want to take care of them. And when I see them out on the road or out doing something stupid, you know, I want to stop and say, you know, well, what are you doing this for? Stop and behave yourself. The people can see you and, you know, like, be quiet at 2 o'clock in the morning and stop screaming under the bridge. And so I just feel like, you know, like I feel I'm responsible for their well-being.
Thank you.
I'm Sandra Slattery from the Chamber, and about 6 months ago, I think, we formed a committee, the Chamber, called the Behavioral Task Force, and we did that because we had a number of business people who were talking with their visitors last summer and had a lot of concern over some of the behavior that was occurring not only downtown, but in various parts of the downtown and the community, not just out all over. And the idea was that there was a tremendous amount of people in need, and there were other people that were taking advantage of resources. And what could we do as a community to really help the people in need and help the organizations, some of you here, who are then also helping those people? So we formed a group of businesses, as I said, people from retail, lodging, restaurant, real estate, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, nonprofit, education. And we met many, many times talking about the problems, talking about potential solutions, and decided one of the things that we could do is we could actually help raise money, because we're business people. And there was a need. And so we know that the visitors who come to this community love Ashland, care deeply about it, are very generous, giving people. And what if we could connect with them and let them know of the need that exists in the community and encourage them to give money? So we created a program called Change with Purpose and crafted some language. And we looked at other communities that have done this, Portland, Seattle, other communities that, you know, we're not alone, obviously, in our country with this issue, and began to figure out how would we have one-on-one contact with our visitors. So we crafted this message. We are encouraging our visitors through kindness and generosity to give primarily to the first two organizations that we have the longest standing relationship with and have vetted, and that's St. Vincent de Paul, because of the amazing work they do with people in need, and also the food bank. And so we helped craft a website for St. Vincent de Paul. We created a landing page on our website with the messaging. We created rack cards and posters and have communicated that to all of our partners in the visitor sector. So when visitors come to Ashland, they then understand that if they are wanting to give back, that there's a way to do that, and that we have a centralized message throughout our visitor sector, and that those business owners, their employees, will then understand the importance of this campaign. We have no idea how much money it will generate. 100% of the money that's raised is going directly to those organizations. All the time we're putting in is just time that we've spent and are dedicated to. The links, we on our website, we'll have the landing page. It's already there. And the links will go directly to those organizations with a Donate Now button on their organization so that they can collect the funds. It's a trial. It's a pilot for this summer. We're hoping that it can be very successful. We have the capacity to expand it in the future. We're looking at adding, because we have support now for shelter and we have support for food, we're also looking at possibly animals, working with the Southern Oregon Humane Society, because we know a lot of people care about the animals that are out. And a couple of our members are here tonight. Cynthia Ryders, represented by Ted DeLong, and I know he'll be speaking. Pam Hammond, and Cindy Bernard, and Dennis Slattery is also here. We have about 15 people that serve, and they're very dedicated, very caring people. And I want you to know that the business community has a heart, and they very much want to see support for people in need and are putting their businesses behind this and communicating with the visitors. And we hope to have a good visitor season. We hope that we won't have a lot of negative issues, and then today we can turn that into positive support.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And let's use the clock. Okay, go ahead.
I'm Cheyenne Nichols. I'm a case manager. Can everybody hear me? I'm not used to this. I'm a case manager for Maslow Project. I case manage the Ashland School District specifically. And we're a drop-in resource center for homeless youth and families. I work out of Ashland High School, so that's our main Ashland location here. We provide basic needs support services and goal-based case management to youth and families in need to help be successful and become more self-sufficient. The reason that I do this work, I've always worked in social services. It's what's in my heart and probably won't do anything else. And I love being a part of this community. This is where I grew up, so I like being back and serving my community where I came from. I also particularly love working with youth because I feel like we see the most impact and they teach me the most each day. So it's always a learning process.
Thank you. John.
My name is John Wachorik. I'm here wearing a couple of hats, I guess, in addition to being a business person downtown for the last 20 years as a real estate broker. Clerical error on our sheets. It looks like Options for Homeless Residents of Ashland was omitted from the sheet, but I'm the board chair of Options for Homeless Residents of Ashland.
No, it was what I put was the Resource Center.
Right.
Because that's the organization that's actually functioning involved with the people. Anyway, you and I can sort that out later.
Absolutely. So Options for Homeless Residents of Ashland is one of the two nonprofits that runs the Ashland Community Resource Center, which Lee's here to talk about. And our partners, Access, are here as well, so they can address that. Options for Homeless Residents of Ashland is dedicated to providing people in Ashland facing poverty with opportunities to improve their individual situations and leave poverty behind. In addition to being here on behalf of ORA, I'm here with the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship as well. We, in partnership with Temple Emek Shalom and some other faith-based groups with Trinity Episcopal and the Presbyterian Church as well in the city of Ashland, we operate Pioneer Hall as a homeless shelter during the winter months, which we just concluded, and we provided rough round number 1,300 nights of sleep for our most vulnerable community members. So the reason that I'm involved with helping those in poverty is, I guess, one, because I can, and two, because I think it's the right thing to do.
Thank you. And I think we should go to 2 minutes. It's going to fit closer. If you run over a little bit, I won't harass you or cut you off immediately. Doug.
Good. Thank you. 2 minutes would probably keep the attorney down here. My name is Doug McGarry. I am a city attorney or assistant city attorney, and I'm in charge of prosecution of criminal and violations here in the city of Ashland. I've been essentially take the cases that come from the law enforcement, and then I review those and determine whether or not they are should proceed into prosecution. And then I'm here on Tuesday mornings as a regular basis for arraignments and arraign those people. I review those cases and determine at that point what the recommendations are for treatment and for penalty and whatever it may be as to those cases if they are. I've been I assist also with development of ordinances to ensure that kind of meet with what the policies of the city are, and try to craft those so that they clearly are obviously of constitutional, but at the same time meet and are effective and actually do what you want them to do. My reason for doing this or being here, I've been born and raised here in Southern Oregon, and I've been involved in the I worked at the county as a DA for 10 years, and in the prosecutor's office here for the county prosecutors for 10 years. I also worked for the county as their attorney for about 10 more years, and I have a private practice. I'm actually a contractor here, so I have a private practice as well, in which I do defend parties, and I do take care of people with landlord-tenant issues and those types of things. I tend to view myself as progressive and trying to help out people. It's not my idea of punishing them, but more in a sense of...
You got cut off.
Something that you don't know about, Doug, and I just discovered about 2 weeks ago, was I went down to the legal department and to ask the question. I said, it seems crazy to me that when people don't have any money, we load them up with fines and then ruin their credit rating. If they ever do get out of homelessness, then that's just another obstacle for them. And the city attorney said, well, actually, Doug has been doing something to expunge and keep that, minimize that from happening, and only have the financial penalties applied to people where it's going to be effective and not burden indigent people. And he's worked with the municipal judge. So I think that's an interesting thing that nobody knew about a couple of weeks ago.
The point being is that my presumptive sentence, if you want to understand it, presumptive sentence is there is no fine. If I determine or if I can read through the reports that someone has, in fact, a vehicle and they're actually doing things and they actually might have some assets, I'll consider a fine then, but we don't fine. I mean, there are fees that they have to pay, and we're trying to get through that now, and we're considering that, but fine is not part of the project. It's not worth it for me. Again, it's effectiveness, and it's not worth it, not worth my time, nor the city, nor the city municipal court's time to be trying to chase after this and doing something that really doesn't get them any further.
Thank you. Ty.
Yeah. My name is Ty O'Meara. I'm the chief of police for the city of Ashland. We're put in the difficult position of trying to hear everyone's complaints and trying to treat everyone equitably. We do our best to treat everyone equitably. I know that some people don't believe that. I really do believe that we do a phenomenal job with that, and you'll have lots of Ashland police officers that'll say that we treat everybody the same if you're driving a BMW or pushing a shopping cart. We try to be fair. To that end, or to further that, we're starting to get into a really exciting field of study on implicit bias, and this in the police world, this is called fair and impartial policing. I've received training that I'm bringing back to all the police officers and that I'm going to share with anybody in the community that wants to hear it on how our programming controls us. It affects the decisions that we make, and once that initial decision is made by a police officer, it sends that event into a particular direction that sometimes ends very badly, so we want to do that better. We're coupling that with another field of study called procedural justice, which is the practice of giving everybody voice, giving everybody respect, giving everybody dignity. And studies show time and time again that if people have interactions with the police, if they're treated fairly, their voice is heard, they're respected, even if they don't get the outcome that they want, they still are happy overall that they were treated professionally. There's a couple of logistics things that we're working on. One of them is we recently got the council's approval to enter into an agreement to rent up to two jail beds at Jackson County Jail, which is constantly overcrowded, meaning people that commit crimes, not violations, but crimes, can actually see some sanctions. We also have a drug amnesty program that allows anybody to turn in their drugs and get help 24/7 without any criminal sanctions. And I want to make sure this gets said, and I'm not trying to steal Jackson County Mental Health's thunder if they're here. Jackson County Mental Health launched a really neat grant. Just bear with me for a second.
You're okay.
They're going to have a crisis worker, after all the details are worked out, assigned to the Medford Police Department full-time, the Jackson County Sheriff's Department, and the Ashland Police Department. So we're going to have a crisis intervention worker that's going to be at our disposal for 40 hours a week to help us keep people out of hospital beds and help us interact with people that are in emotional distress.
You're next.
All right. Well, that just amplifies my feeling of being humbled to be in the midst of all of you amazing people. I represent the Residential Options Outreach Team. It's a really new group. I think it just formed this year. Neighborhood community people in Ashland that want to provide a safe place for the homeless to be. Root is the name of it, Residential Options Outreach Team. Many of the people in this group are here tonight. One thing I just want to mention before I forget, on Friday, one of the guys, Cole Smith and Karen Logan, are going to be doing a tiny houses presentation at the library Friday at 5 o'clock. And Cole's actually already built the shell of a tiny house, so we're starting with the end in mind. All right, so our mission statement is to organize the Ashland community to provide shelter for people in need. We're a group of area residents seeking community-based pathways, partnerships, and solutions to provide shelter for people in need. The goals are to explore, implement, and support various housing solutions that provide a sanctioned, safe place for people to rest. We want to promote self-sufficiency, support people to be more functional in their lives, to have a horizontal governance within the homeless community so that they can help to have some order, and encourage active participation in the support so that the homeless assume some responsibility. We want to promote good relations between the homeless community and the larger community, and network with all of us here to give them support. One thing I think is really important that we want to land on we want to practice compassion with the homeless. Recognize that not having a safe place leads to a heightened state of trauma, and recognize that first and foremost they need an adequate place to. I'm out of time.
You need to say a little bit about your. You need to tell us your name, and then you need to say a little bit about.
Okay.
How you personally connected to this work.
All right. Thanks for the extra time. My name is Braveheart Lavoie. I actually am new to Ashland, just moved here last summer. My personal involvement here, actually, I noticed the way I got engaged was I noticed the bad behavior and the situation downtown with all the homeless, and it was really bugging me, so I decided to get involved, and I started volunteering at the homeless shelter, at the warming shelters. And it just cracked my heart open getting to know these people and understand the situation. And I love being able to live in Ashland where people can reach out and connect and make a difference.
Thank you.
I'm Pam Marsh. I'm director of the Ashland Emergency. Is this on? This is on, right?
Can you hear back there?
Hello? I'm Pam Marsh. I'm director at the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. We were actually founded 43 years ago in the basement of Trinity Church. Thank you for that. By a group of church ladies. I always imagine them as ladies. Maybe there are some men in there. With the intent to provide food free of charge to neighbors to make sure that no one in our community goes to bed hungry. And these four decades later, we still do the very same thing. We serve residents of Ashland, Talent, surrounding rural areas. We provide food free of charge for every member of the family and invite people to come and shop with us once a month. In 2015, we served an average of 611 households every month. That computes to about 1,500 children and adults who came to see us, a lot of people in a very small community like ours. I want to say just a word about how we've been impacted by the visitor population, because I think this it's misunderstood how those of us who are serving the core residents, and both housed and homeless, have been affected by the flood of people who come to our community. Last summer, it became very clear to us that we could not continue to serve, we could not serve the visitors who were coming in the door in the same way that we serve our ongoing residents, both housed and homeless. And we had to adjust. We started a visitor bag program in which we give every person who comes to our door at least one time a bag that contains some tuna, a jar of peanut butter, a loaf of bread, a granola bar, a bottle of water, because we don't want anyone to go away hungry. And yet, the number of people that are coming to the community, and we see many fewer of them at the food bank than our downtown, would simply overwhelm our resources. So I think that's an important understanding for the community to have, that we are all struggling to try to get on top of and to serve both the people who live here and in some way to respond to the visitor population. Can I just say, I brought cards in both English and Spanish that have a map to our location, our hours, and eligibility, and I would love to pass those around and have you take them in preparation for handing them out to people you know, people on the street, people you encounter.
Now you need to say what your personal connection is that drives this.
Well, let me just say, I mean, sorry, you guys, but I think I have the best job in town at the food bank, because every day I see families that are coming in that are doing the very best they can to make wonderful lives for themselves and their children, sometimes with tremendous challenges in their lives. And in the back door, every day we see members of the community coming in with things to share, an hour of time, some money, some food from the cupboard. And so we at the food bank really see that magic intersect that I think exists all over Ashland.
Thank you. Father Tony.
I'm Tony Hutchinson. I'm the rector of Trinity Episcopal Church on 2nd Street. We, for 3 years now, have had an emergency homeless shelter. We followed the example of the Presbyterians, and we were happy to have Emek Shalom and the UU join us, it's a great pleasure working together with all of the various faith groups and just benevolent groups, whether faith is involved or not. It's really wonderful. This last year, our emergency shelter is on Wednesdays, and it runs from late October to late April. We were averaging about 40 every week, and that's right at the kind of the top of our capability. It's much more, and there's no more room. We face several challenges. Compassion fatigue is a big thing, and one of the things that we have started doing, and we do it gently and not pushy or anything else, but I try to push spiritual practices with my parishioners who are involved in this that are aimed at helping combat compassion fatigue, and those are kind of basic mindfulness exercises. And just listening. In addition to the homeless shelter, we have the additional problem of having the labyrinth. And the labyrinth, you know, is kind of a place that collects people. And after dark, it's actually dangerous. We've had situations that were really bad. And so we've made it so that the labyrinth is not accessible, is not open for sleeping, for cooking of meals. And it's not open after dark. And but there are other areas on our campus that are not posted, and we have, you know, the sparrows under the eaves of your temple, O Lord, have found a nest. And we have sparrows that come and stay. And we try to be as welcoming and affirming and positive with them as possible. That said, a major thing that we've learned in this is it's really crucial to establish clear boundaries, to be honest and open with people and respect them enough to let them know what the boundaries are and to make them responsible for
those boundaries.
Is there
cards for the food bank?
One last thing. I want to thank the Ashland Police Department. They have helped us resolve several issues, and I have to say that I, not once, I know that there are lots of people who complain, but not once have I seen any of your officers be calloused or brutal. They've always been unfailingly supportive of all of the people involved.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next organization represented here is by invitation. I don't think that you're doing stuff on the streets in Ashland per se, but you're clearly a an angel organization with respect to what the rest of us do.
Thank you. My name is Heather Everett. I have a couple of hats. One is I'm the chair of the Jackson County Homeless Task Force. The Jackson County Homeless Task Force is a subcommittee of the Jackson County Community Services Consortium. Our task force is made up of about 30 different agencies and different municipalities throughout Southern Oregon, many of which are in the room. We have a monthly networking meeting that helps provide support to each other, training, events, information. We meet three times a year here in Ashland. So currently our 2016 schedule, we met in February. Our next meeting will be June 21st, and the next one in Ashland is October 18th, and these are all done at the Ashland Community Center. So you're all invited to attend there. More Ashland attendance, the county is both Medford and Ashland, so we want to make sure that everybody's included. So one of the things that the Homeless Task Force does is we have several different subcommittees, the core group that's really in charge of the planning and the monitoring of the different activities of the Homeless Task Force, things like many of you may have helped out with the point in time count. That's a duty of the Homeless Task Force. We monitor and collaboratively work on the Continuum of Care grant from HUD that brings about $350,000 a year into our community, which is for Medford, Ashland, Jackson County. Also in charge of the Project Community of Connect event that happens annually that brings all different agencies together to help homeless in a one-day event, get some resources out there and available to them. And then we also have the Veterans Subcommittee and the Youth Subcommittee. So we definitely want to invite everybody to come to those. Through real quick if I can. The other hat is Rogue Retreat. I'm the administrative director for Rogue Retreat. And I know that many people are kind of keeping an eye on how we're doing our tiny house project, our Hope Village project in Medford, to kind of see if it can be done in our community. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Ted. Anne, what do you think?
I'll just talk loud. I work at a theater. My name is Ted DeLong. I'm the general manager at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and I think I should first express our gratitude to all of you around this table who are doing all this wonderful work. We are not quite in this realm of social service, but we're here, I think, as a sort of interested party by virtue of being a pretty big presence downtown, both physically and in the number of visitors that we have on our campus and our employees we have working for us. And we want to make sure there's a positive experience for both of those groups. We do a few things. We collaborate with the food bank on a couple of food drives every year, bring a can of food and get into a show, that kind of thing. And we also, our 500 some employees contribute to the community as individuals. So we're deeply interested in this work and want to see some good solutions. And we've been collaborating with the Chamber and the Change for Purpose work. And we are going to be putting a link to that, one of those sites, and some information about that in an email that will go out to our visitors every week before they come to town. So we're going to be channeling that information to our visitors as best we can.
I think that one of the other reasons I put Shakespeare on the list is
because you all have your fingers on the pulse day to day of what is happening with the people moving through the community. And so I think that one of the things that this group is going to be able to do, has the potential, is share information so that we know what is happening much closer to real time rather than getting an email from somebody 2 weeks after something occurred. And the ebb and flow of events and participants in the scene on the streets changes all the time during the summer. I think that for this team, which is you are the community's team that is interfacing with this very complex situation, the more we can be working in real time, the more effective we can be and the less reactive we'll have to be. Laura.
We also provide ongoing mental health treatment for children and adults. We do individual and group therapy. We provide intensive case management. We have specialized services for kids, RAP services, where we partner with the community partners that might be touching that child's life, bringing everyone to the table on a regular basis. We do the same with our assertive community treatment team, which is a team serving adults with severe mental illness who interface with our criminal justice system and our hospital system on a regular basis. We also provide some recovery-based services, including supported education and supported employment. So we're helping people go back to school, helping people complete their degrees at RCC and SOU, so we've created strong partnerships with them. We provide services through our transition age youth team to try to meet the unique needs of the 18 to 24-year-old population. We've recently created a forensic team to try to partner closely with community justice, where we are trying to embed a therapist there at the work center as well as in the jail to help serve the individuals that often get caught in our jail system, but what they really need is mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. We, as many people know, or maybe don't know, a third of the county is covered by Medicaid insurance, and so that happened over these past couple of years, and we've been faced with a dramatic increase in need for services, and we've been trying to expand our services as well as partnering with a lot of community partners to try to meet the need.
Thank you. Anne? Lee?
My name is Lee Dodson. I'm the executive director of Ashland Community Resource Center. For 2 years and 2 months, we have helped people in dire need meet immediate critical needs. Those needs could be as simple as a pair of shoes. We've provided thousands of pairs of socks. Everybody that comes get coffee. We have something to eat. That happens every day. Seasonally, we have the best clothing available. Today, they're recycled, the usable sleeping bags, a way to get something to cover yourself. In the wintertime, we have more expensive stuff, brand new sleeping bags, brand new shoes. So those are the critical needs. As we provide those critical needs, we also meet with community partners, and those partners create durable and lasting relationships. So you've heard how the Maslow Project works. Oftentimes, we get introduced to that family and we'll work together to solve some of those needs. One of our best partners is St. Vincent de Paul. They help us and they join with the families and the individuals so that as that family or individual comes to us, it's not relying on us alone, but the partners. Jackson County Mental Health has had a presence. We currently have two mental health providers there. So each of these individuals or families who come, get the opportunity, once they meet their immediate needs, the Maslow concept, then they partner with other agencies. We've been there 2.5 years. We've served 1,600 unique individuals. 920 of those are homeless. So I believe we serve a lot of the population that we see downtown, people that are concerned, people who aren't. My name, Lee Madsen. I moved here 12 years ago. I became a member of the Methodist Church about that time. I started serving at the Food Diner, and after I'd been there for about a year, my partner and service, Pastor DeVita, looked at me and she said, Lee, we don't just serve these people anymore. We're intimately involved in their lives. I fell in love with 1,000 homeless people in my city.
Thank you. Jackie.
I'm Jackie Shad. I'm the Executive Director of Access for the Community Action Agency for Jackson County. We have a mandate to serve low-income people in a variety of ways. With regard to homelessness, direct service, our primary offerings are food and a helping hand to try to find shelter where that's possible, where resources exist. We have extraordinary resources right now for veterans, as most of you know, to try to house the homeless veterans in the county, and limited resources for everybody else, although we can try to serve. The government's been a little more stingy with people who aren't veterans in the last couple of years. We also have a community building mandate, which is why we work in partnership with other organizations to help get things off the ground. So hence our partnership with ORA that's resulted in the Resource Center, working with Grove Retreat in Medford to help get the tiny village thing up and going and so forth and so on. And trying to provide what we can. We have some emergency cash and things like bus passes for very critical short-term needs, and then we support the efforts of a lot of the others around the table. I'm just going to, true confession, folks, I've been a vagabond. I've panhandled for my supper. I was on a flight, but I kind of know what that life is like. And I also know what it's like to be down and out, so my heart's going to work for me.
Thank you. Charlotte.
My name is Charlotte Dorsey. I'm with St. Vincent de Paul. I've done this work along with, I do this work, which is home visiting, helping Ashland people. Anybody who calls into us and asks for whatever they need, it usually centers around the same things all of us have for our needs, which is rent and utilities. Sometimes there are the needs for IDs, and there's really not any limit on it. Basically, whatever we have here, the person needs for IDs. And I'm just saying, in terms of my own involvement, this is what I am given to do that gives me great joy. So I don't know how you beat that one. It's a good match. It's volunteer.
Heidi.
Hi, my name is Heidi Parker from
Fred, the next one.
Just project like Ted did.
Serving the homeless,
So I have a base of 140 volunteers. We have an online sign up. We do about 2 trainings a year. We're going to increase that. We have a mental health services emergency workshop this fall. And we're always looking for volunteers, and we're always looking for more locations. We would like to offer shelter 7 nights a week during the winter. We would love to have a permanent site, and we think it would be easier to manage one site with all the many volunteers we have than changing sites each night. This is the first year that we've had to call the police at night for problems, and we're very appreciative of the Ashland Police Force. They've been incredibly helpful and non-committed. We would like the whole community to embrace the fact that we're offering shelter. We've gotten a lot of negative feedback from other community members, and I just feel that we live in a beautiful community. We have a lot of wealth in this community. We really should be providing shelter for people who are out in the cold in the winter. It's sort of a basic necessity. And I've been surprised that many people are homeless in our community.
Thank you.
The other thing is we also provide several classes that we can actually offer to anyone that comes into a center, especially life skills. The ones that we get referred from DHS, according to them, are the hardest to place. So they were referring to us to provide them all kinds of life skills. We start with financial literacy classes, DD, communication, parenting, you name it, we'll do it. We get them ready to find a job and get a job. People that are receiving assistance, people that are receiving food stamps, and anybody from the community. So, we do provide a lot. Last year, we were able to place approximately 400 people in jobs. And I have a couple of flyers here that I'll pass around, so in case you need to give us a call, please do. And again, how I get into this job, as I was growing up, somebody gave us a hand. And when I learned the language, I think, well, this is my turn. So I've been doing it for many years.
Thank you.
My name is Becky Snow. I'm one of the volunteers of the Listening Post, which is a ministry of listening with compassion, respect, and confidentiality to anyone who happens to come to one of our sites. Pass around our brochures, and if you have a place where you could put them and put one for people to refer to find out where they can find us, please feel free to take one. The volunteers are trained, and we operate under the umbrella of Trinity Episcopal Church, but our volunteers come from all parts of the community. We are planning this summer, the main place that we intersect currently with the homeless people specifically now is at Uncle Foods and at the Resource Center, and we have listeners available. We are not counselors. Our objective is to provide ears for people who don't have anybody to say their piece to. And so we are planning to try doing this, beginning this summer, May probably, in the plaza, two days per month, either from 3 to 5 or 5 to 7. We'll have our sign, and we'll have some brochures to hand out, and we will talk to whoever is crossing through the plaza who wants to stop and talk. We still have to work out the logistical issue of where we can stow our sign and brochures between our appearances at the plaza, but hopefully we'll find somebody around the plaza who has a little space in their closet where we can put that. If there's significant demand during the summer, then we'll consider adding more shifts, but we're going to do a sort of pilot to begin with, as I described. And I was drawn to this ministry because of my background as a recovering attorney and a mediator, and the sense that and an awareness that many people in different walks of life, all walks of life, need somebody to listen to them and just hold in prayer their joys, their sorrows.
Mr. Mayor, just pause for a second. Jim Fong, I see you in the back of the room. Do you have an organization that should be at this table?
Sure.
Do you? I mean, if you do, there's a space here and you could speak now.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I think that the contact information clipboard stalled somewhere, if you could get that going again.
Okay. Wherever the contact information is, please start moving it. The light, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm Jim Fong, the executive director for the Rotary Workforce.
And? Sorry, go ahead.
And we're the region's workforce board, so we bring together employers with high school and K-12 and higher education partners and other workforce agencies. So we oversee the one-stop centers in the region, the Workforce Road Valley. It used to be called the Job Castle. It's built out the name on the building, but it's gone through transition. So we've been in conversations in the past, a couple of years with the city council, about trying to find ways to kind of partner with private department and services, the employment department, the folks who provide the services at our one-stop centers, which is a company called Rescare now. So I think there are those resources in the valley right now. They're centered in Bedford.
Thank you.
Sure, is this one live now? Okay. My name is Dan Weiner. I'm medical director for Rogue Community Health, formerly Community Health Center. We are located right here. We have a clinic right here in Ashland. Been here for many, many years. I have not, but the clinic has. And we deliver primary care services, obviously, but as you all know, it's not just about delivering a primary care service, mental health care service, other. It's about all of these other things that you all are so engaged in partnering with this community to do, which is food insecurity, housing, warmth, safety, et cetera. And so although we can deliver those health care delivery services, and we can also help connect our patients, the homeless or otherwise, we'll take all comers. No questions asked at any time, regardless of ability to pay. But we also want to connect them to you, our partner organizations. We look to partnering with you to connect these individuals as you see and as they see these needs arise. We know that mental health care, my area of focus is psychopharmacology, mental health care, and addiction care. And we know that one of the limitations that keeps folks on the street often is mental illness, and vice versa. It plays off each other. So without getting it from all angles with that 360 wraparound approach to care, we're not going to move the dial on these folks and improving their day-to-day quality of life. So we're here delivering that care, partnering with you in any way we can. Please reach out to us, and as we will with you.
Thank you.
Hi,
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Houck, and I'm here representing the WE Project, which is Wellness for Everyone. We've been providing a monthly meal, which is turning into probably twice a month and hopefully eventually weekly. We've been serving it in Railroad Park, and we connect. We have a group of about 80 volunteers that come and help bring food and serve food. And then we've also partnered with the, Ashland Culture Peace Commission, and they have brought people in, and there's great conversations that go on between housed and unhoused people at these meals. We are, one thing that we've just started doing is a Mother's Day card project. We wanted to try to remove the barriers that homeless people have to communicate with their families and foster reconnection to original communities when that's possible. So that's another thing that we're doing, and I'm glad to speak to you.
Hello. I'm Linda Reed, Housing Program Specialist for the City of Ashland, and I'm also the staff liaison to the Housing and Human Services Commission. The Housing and Human Services Commission's primary mission is to deal with the range of housing and human services issues that face the residents of this community and to help deal with those issues on a policy level. I am going to defer to the two other members of the Housing and Human Services Commission who are here tonight but representing other organizations to talk about why they joined.
Oh, I can wait for my turn if you want.
Okay. Heidi, do you want us to catch the up? Thank you.
And I also wanted to say that the Housing and Human Services Commission also oversees the Community Development Block Grant Program for the City of Ashland, makes recommendations to the Council on award, also oversees the Social Service Grant Program for the City, and is working on finding a revenue source for the Affordable Housing Trust Fund.
My name is Nancy Lyon, and I am the representative for the Street Dog Project, which is a program of Friends of the Animal Shelter. Our mission is to improve the quality of life for dogs and cats on the street, and the main function of that mission is to neuter and spay dogs and cats. We've been around for about 2.5 years, and we've done about 200 surgeries for dogs and cats in that length of time, dogs and cats belonging to the homeless. And we try to remove every obstacle between those spay-neuter surgeries and the dog who belongs to the homeless person. So we make the appointment for the surgery. We call him to confirm the appointment. We pick up the dog and the guardian and transport him to the surgery, and then pick him up the next day, transport him back, and then 10 days later, bring him in for suture removal. So in addition to spays and neuters, we provide limited harnesses, leashes, collars. We do some vet care, pay for some vet care, and promote vaccinations. We have a small little budget given to us by Friends of the Animal Shelter. We have two dedicated phone lines that the homeless can pick up at any time and get a hold of one of the volunteers. We have outreach at Uncle Foods and Resource Center and have just started at St. Vincent in Medford. I sort of wheel and deal and bend the rules on the edge of the front of the animal shelter board. My husband is on the board, and he is the one. His function is to rein me back in. So I have always had animals in my life, and I guess a natural extension of that is to move into the animal welfare arena. Thank you.
Just a quick comment. Everybody around this table is doing pretty amazing stuff. But when I heard about street dogs, I couldn't believe how somebody could persuade a person on the street to give up his or her dog to have an operation to be taken away and trust to bring it back. I think it's an inspiration, and it sort of encourages us to really be bold in our imaginations of what we can do. Sharon.
My name is Sharon Harris, and just in answering the mayor's question about why I'm doing this, I'm thinking that it was probably a little bit of coincidence and a lot of series of events that were mostly out of my control that brought me here. I moved to Ashland about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and I have never lived anywhere there was a synagogue in my adult life, and I decided to go. I happened to be at a service, and Rabbi Bodiger said, we are partnering with Trinity Episcopal Church, the Unitarian Fellowship and the City of Ashland to provide a homeless shelter, and it was then only on Thursday nights, and we need volunteers. And the way he phrased it was, you know, guilt works really well with Jews. He said, Unitarians have been really, you know, having a lot of volunteers, and we need to step up our game. And at the time, the other event that was out of my control, I recently bought a home in Ashland on Fifth Street, which burned 3 days before I closed. And so the whole concept of shelter really was at the forefront of my mind. So I guess, answered a call of sorts to help out. And I, like John Weichark and many other people here, wear a lot of different hats. And so what happened is I started volunteering at the shelter, and I thought, I did spend a little bit of time on the street myself, very briefly, and I thought, yeah, I can do this because I've been there. But let me just tell you, after, and I sleep alongside these people almost every Tuesday night, and I have for the past 3 years during the winter shelter, and I have had Gulf War veterans who are, you know, with PTSD, being, you know, thinking they're being blown up and in my arms crying in the middle of the night. I've had people who are probably alcoholics that are very well known to many of you community members in tears also. Sharon, I need help. I really want to quit. So do I have a couple minutes to just say? So that's how I became involved. And I just talked to Rabbi Bodiger beforehand to get his words. He was not able to attend. As many of you know, it's the Passover season, and what he wanted to share with you, and I'm not any way a substitute for Rabbi Bodiger, but he just said he wanted to be very clear that we're so grateful to be able to work with others in the interfaith community and the community at large in this cause, and we're all doing great work. As many of you may or may not know, yeah, it is the season of Passover. It's our season of freedom, where we tell our particular story of our journey from slavery to freedom. And as we celebrate this journey towards freedom, we do this in order to sensitize us and open our hearts, that we might remind ourselves of our obligation to work on behalf of all people in their journey towards freedom. So just That's mostly what it is, and I'm in the process of when I was on vacation in Mexico, the ORA board voted me onto the board, so that was another event. So I'm on the board of ORA, and I'm going to be on the board of Temple Emek Shalom, and I'm on the Housing and Human Services Commission because Regina Ayers drove by my house and started talking to me, and so. Just trying to be involved and do some good. Thanks for being so patient as it went all the way around. And again, another big shout out to the police department for, I think I led the number of calls from the homeless shelter to the police department for help. And thank you so much for what you do in such a good way.
Your bill's on the way.
Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you. We're almost through for this evening. If you haven't put your contact telephone number down on the
list here. Will you do it before you leave? And we have this place for some more time if you want to sit or you want to stand around or sit around and talk. What happens next is simple, and that is that I will distribute to all of you, because I think I have all of your email addresses, I'll distribute to you this list of names, organizations, and telephone numbers, and then you can, as you feel appropriate, exchange other information. You obviously are on your own. You can organize in any ways you want. What I would appreciate is if you get the feeling, any of you get the feeling, that it would be good to bring this group back together one way or another in a month or in a quarter or something like that. I can always do that, and I'm happy to do it, because I think that the connections amongst you are really crucial to being effective. And once we get into the season, there's going to be a lot of events happening. If we need a time to talk about things where we can talk in a safe place about it, that's also, I can make that available. So the last thing I want to say is there are three organizations that didn't have someone to speak for them, the vaccination clinic, and then Carol Voisin was going to be here to represent the
Plaza Watch
and meetings of that she has organized of homeless people where we can communicate directly with them. Some of that happens at the WE event, too. If there's anybody here who would like to speak to us about that, you can come forward now and do it. Okay, let's just stand up and take a look around this circle. So, from the community of Ashland, these people came forward today, and some who have left. But we are the ones who are going to be carrying this and making things happen. We have to take care of each other. We have to communicate with each other. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think, you know, as the environment changes and the landscape changes, I think we're always to be really adaptable and responsive to the changes. You know, there's a big shift in healthcare around wellness, and we have opened a new wellness clinic, and that is just really taking off in terms of just, rather than waiting for people to get sick and come and see us, now we're looking to help them come and see us when they're healthy.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
catch one another. Hide and seek going around.
There is a clipboard, and you can add your name to it.
Okay,
somebody's got it around here.
Okay,
thanks.
Did somebody last name?
We talked on the phone. I'm like, I think that's who that is.